I do want to wish you a happy Father's Day again. I want to share with you some correspondence that I read this past week. It's correspondence between a son and his father, and the son sends a sort of cryptid message. It has a subliminal message to his dad in his little note, and I want to see if you can pick it out with me. "Dear Dad, school is really great. I'm making lots of friends and studying very hard with all my stuff. I simply can't think of anything I need. So if you would like, you can just send me a card, as I would love to hear from you. Love, your son." Oh, you caught it then. The not so subliminal message. Well, Dad had a subliminal message of his own. See if you can pick this one out. "Dear son, I know that astronomy, economics, and oceanography are enough to keep even an honor student busy. Do not forget that the pursuit of knowledge is a noble task, and you can never study enough. Love, Dad." Pretty obvious, but clever communication. But the things that fathers communicate are invaluable. And I know many of us appreciate our fathers, and especially how they led us to Jesus and to be more like Him. We are indebted to our fathers. Today is Father's Day. We honor our fathers not because it's a national a day set aside in our nation to honor our fathers, but it is fundamental to our faith. Honor your father and mother. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It was defended by Jesus in Matthew 15, reaffirmed by Paul in Ephesians 6:2. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Simple gratitude would demand that we honor our fathers, and so we do so today. However, I want to share something with you. An article I read about something that happened a few years ago. Have you ever felt sorry for a rhinoceros? Well, now you can if you haven't before. Several years ago in the South African bush, there were a lot of rhinoceroses being killed. And so the rangers, and this was a protected animal, probably still is, they were investigating how it was that these huge animals were being killed. And what their research found was that they were being attacked by juvenile delinquents. Big juvenile delinquents. Bigger than a rhinoceros. It was elephants. In one season, 10% of the rhino population was wiped out. But elephants historically didn't attack rhinos. It hadn't happened before. But the evidence was strong, and so after doing more and more studies, they finally came up with the reason that they believed this was happening. 20 years prior to that, a decision was made, for what seemed like good reasons at the time, to kill adult elephants and move the young elephants to other locations. Now those young ones had become teenagers, and they were doing strange things, like attacking rhinos and attacking tourist vehicles. Rangers tracked them and saw them in action. They taunted rhinos like a 14-year-old schoolyard bully. And they got very nasty, and finally they would kill many of these hapless rhinos. Eventually, these offending elephants had to be shot. But why this bizarre behavior? The rangers figured it out. These teenage elephants were growing up without male role models. This apparently created a whole generation of traumatized young elephants without older males to teach them how to behave. And so how did they counteract this problem? Well, they began to link these younger elephants with the older bull elephants, who then taught them by their example, of course, how to be gentlemen or gentle elephants. And you know what? The killings stopped. Elephants aren't people, of course. But could we learn something from this experience about how important role models are to our children. So happy Father's Day to fathers. But I also want to include, as I did on Mother's Day, men who are like fathers to us. Sometimes, for one reason or another, our fathers aren't able to help us, particularly grow closer to God. Perhaps they die early on, and so we don't have that influence, or perhaps they're not believers. Or for some other difficulties, sometimes it's not our fathers, but it's men who are like fathers to us who help us draw close to our Heavenly Father. In fact, I want to spend the majority of the time this morning considering a relationship that we read about in Scripture between a father and a son when the father wasn't biologically related. It's a well-known relationship, and it covers much of our New Testaments. It's a relationship between Paul and Timothy. But many times in Scripture, Paul will refer to Timothy as his son in the faith. In fact, I want to take you on a journey this morning. It's going to be a timeline, if you will, of interactions between Paul and Timothy. And I'm going to mention the names of a lot of places that have been forgotten by history, but that are in our Bibles. And it's going to be places where they traveled together, places where congregations met, to whom Paul and Timothy would write. But in this relationship and in this journey of Paul and Timothy together, as a spiritual mentor with his protege, we see a wonderful relationship that should remind us of how important like fathers are to us. And how that men, other men, other perhaps in addition to or instead of our own fathers, have been spiritual models for us that have helped us to come to know God better. But I also want us to see how that in this relationship between Paul and Timothy, that you can be a Paul to a Timothy. You can be a spiritual giant, ladies, to a young lady who may not have examples around her. So join me, if you will, for a journey to see this relationship between Paul and Timothy. We'll begin in Acts chapter 16. This is our first introduction to Timothy and his interaction with Paul. And this is a part of Paul's second missionary journey. You remember Paul and Silas are going back through places where they'd been on their first journey. And it says in verse 1 that he, Paul, came to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. So here's our first introduction to Timothy. He's at Lystra. He's a certain disciple. He's a Christian. But he's the son of a Jewish Christian, a Jewish woman who believed, but the son of a Greek. And you put it together, we see that this is his mother was a Christian, but his father was not. And some believe, based upon the wording here, that his father may not have been living at this point. But notice in verse 2 with me. He, Timothy, was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So Paul sees promise. He sees potential in this young man, and he's young, perhaps even a teenager at this point. Because later, some say 15 years later, Paul would write to this same Timothy and would say, "Let no one despise your youth." If that was 15 years later, imagine how young he would be at this point. Again, perhaps 15 years old. We don't know exactly, but a young man. But he has a great reputation among the Christians in those two cities. And Paul sees so much in him, he wants Timothy to go with him on these missionary journeys. And thus begins a wonderful relationship, a spiritual mentorship between the Apostle Paul and Timothy. But again, in perhaps almost 10 references, Paul refers to Timothy as his son in the faith. And we'll look at those references in this brief timeline of their travels and interactions. Well, Timothy at this point goes with Paul and Silas on the rest of their travels through Asia Minor. And Timothy and Silas are left in Berea for a short time. But then over in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 3, we find a clue here as to where Timothy is and what he's doing with Paul's encouragement. Notice with me this passage. "So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well we were destined for them." I find it so interesting that Timothy, though a young man, at this point, just a few years later, is being sent by Paul to this church who is unsettled. They got a lot going on, but he sends Timothy to strengthen and encourage them in their faith. Timothy's young, but he's sent with a big responsibility to strengthen and encourage a new church. And that tells us how much confidence Paul had in him. Well, Timothy meets up with Paul and Silas again in Corinth. And after Timothy gave a report to Paul about the situation in Thessalonica, Paul wrote the first letter to them, noting Timothy and Silas as his co-workers and co-authors. And it would appear that Timothy accompanied Paul on the rest of the second missionary journey and then went with him on the third missionary journey as far as Ephesus, where Paul stayed for over 2 years. At some point, Paul sends Timothy to Corinth to try and deal with some of the problems there. So we go to the book of 1 Corinthians and we see this reference. Notice with me, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17. Paul writes, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church." You see the reference here? How Paul refers to Timothy, "my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will teach you, will remind you of my ways in Christ." Not his literal son, but his son in the faith. One that Paul is investing his life in and training and teaching and even sending out to do the work of the Lord. Apparently later, Paul sends Timothy and Erastus into Macedonia. Paul later joins Timothy in Macedonia and includes him as a co-author of 2 Corinthians. And he reminds the Corinthians that Timothy had preached Christ to them. Then he writes his letter to the Romans and includes Timothy in his list of fellow workers. And Timothy is among the group that goes back through Asia Minor with Paul on his way to Jerusalem. Again, a lot of cities I'm mentioning. A lot of travels that Paul and Timothy made together. But isn't that significant? How Paul was taking this young man and showing him by his example what it means to be a proclaimer of the good news of Jesus. So they traveled together, ministered together, suffered together. It's uncertain if Timothy went all the way to Jerusalem or if he later went with Paul to Rome, but we do know that he eventually is in Rome with Paul. Paul includes him as a co-worker and co-author in the letters to the Philippians, Colossians, and the letter to Philemon. And you may recognize those three letters as what we call prison epistles. Timothy is with Paul when Paul is in prison. So here's this young man who seeking to help his mentor who's been imprisoned. He's staying with him. And we find this fascinating reference in Philippians chapter 2 as Paul is writing from his prison cell. But he's writing to this church in Philippi. Notice what he says. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, and that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. What a wonderful endorsement of Timothy. I have no one that is as much like-minded as me, he says of Timothy. He sincerely cares for your state, how you're doing. He's not seeking his own well-being, but he's seeking the things that are of Christ. And you know him, how he served with me as a son with his father. Later on, during Paul's imprisonment, Paul writes two letters to Timothy, who is now in Ephesus. And these are the books that we find in our New Testament, 1st and 2nd Timothy. And let me share with you some references, personal references from Paul to Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 2 of 1 Timothy. To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 18, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. And we'll have to read all of 1 and 2 Timothy to see everything that Paul, as a mentor, says to Timothy, this young evangelist. But he wanted to encourage him to fulfill his ministry, to continue to fight the good fight, to not lose faith or a good conscience. He gives him instructions that he's to share with that church at Ephesus, to accomplish his responsibilities in a variety of areas. But his design is to encourage, to give a vote of confidence in, even to give practical advice to this young preacher about how to fulfill his ministry effectively. The same sort of thing is seen throughout the second letter that we have, the second letter to Timothy. But this is Paul's last letter, we believe. And it shouldn't be surprising to us at this point, as we follow Paul and Timothy, that with his last letter, he'd have something to say to his son in the faith. And notice what he writes at the beginning of 2 Timothy. To Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. Let me stop right there for a moment. Paul's awaiting execution, but he takes the time to write this letter to Timothy. Imagine you being Timothy, receiving this letter from the Apostle Paul, who's been your spiritual mentor, who's taken you all over the world, and you have suffered with him, and preached and taught and wrote with him. And he's in prison awaiting execution, but he wants to write to you, and in it, he's thanking God for you. And he's praying for you without ceasing. He goes on to say, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Day and night, I'm constantly remembering you in my prayers, Paul writes to Timothy. Can you imagine how that must have encouraged Timothy to know that even though Paul was in that situation, that he was remembering Timothy, praying for him constantly, and wanted to see him, and wanted to experience that joy of being reunited with him. And he would say, "Come to me quickly," Paul says. Time is of the essence, we understand. But why is he so thankful? Why does he want to see Timothy? He says, "I remember that genuine faith, that sincere faith, that faith that has no hypocrisy. There's no phoniness about it. It's genuine. It's the real deal. That faith that first dwelt in your grandmother and in your mother." And I love the translation that says it first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. It lived in them. And Paul says, "I'm persuaded it lives in you as well." Tradition says that Timothy kept on teaching and preaching. And it's no wonder, from that relationship that he had enjoyed with the Apostle Paul. What did Paul do for Timothy? He taught him. He taught him. He wrote to him. He wanted Timothy to make sure he understood the will of God for him and for the people to whom he would minister. But he lived a great example before him. You know, there's a phrase that perhaps I hope we're not guilty of saying, "Do as I say, not as I do." But Paul says, "Do as I do." And he took Timothy along with him. And so Timothy could see firsthand what this soldier for the cross was doing, so that he could follow in his steps and continue to share the message of Jesus with others. In fact, Paul would write, "Imitate me," or "follow me, just as I imitate or follow Christ." Timothy had a great example live before him. Listen to 2 Timothy 3, 10 and 11. Paul writes to him, "You have carefully followed my doctrine," my teaching, "manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me." And that language there about "you have carefully followed is strong. It means you came right along with me. You followed me in these things. You accompanied me through these trials. You saw all these things. Now don't forget them. Don't forget them. What did Paul do for Timothy? He lived a great example before him. He trained him. He gave him opportunities to serve. He sent him, even as a young man, to some congregations that were struggling, for him to encourage and support and teach. He prayed for him. He loved and encouraged him. Do you have a Paul in your life? Have you had a Paul in your life? A spiritual mentor that has loved you, that has helped to teach you, that has helped to mold you, train you? If you do, that's a lot to be thankful for, isn't it? But I want us to understand this. There are many potential Timothys all around us. But I wonder who will be their Paul. You can be a Paul to a Timothy. You can be a Eunice to a young lady who's not your biological daughter. But by your example and your love and your time, you can help her to come to know the Heavenly Father. So happy Father's Day to fathers, but also those who are like fathers to us, who have helped us to follow our Heavenly Father more closely. And it may be this morning, due to an influence of a person like a Paul-like person in your life, that you haven't to this point obeyed the gospel, but you recognize the need to do so. And it's our hope and prayer that that example, that Paul-like influence in your life will not be in vain, but that it'll spur you on to doing what God wants you to do, even this morning. And it may be an influence of a Paul-like person in your life that you're convicted this morning that you haven't been following in the steps of Jesus as He taught you to and demonstrated with His life. There may be some changes we need to make privately or even publicly this morning. Perhaps some desire the prayers of the church to help you get back on track in following Jesus like the Paul in your life. If you need to respond this morning, please come right now as we stand and sing.